Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. We are not in my office, Toto. We are in the Yankees Museum, inside Yankee Stadium, goosebumps all around. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and a special guest star today, Andy Strasburg, author of a new book called Baseball Fantography, and also Roger Maris's biggest fan. Got to be close with Roger Maris, not only him, but his family. Is still very close with his family as well. His son, Randy Maris, his son is named after Andy Strasburg. His name is Andrew, and Andy is his godfather. So it's just, I'm so tickled to be interviewing him right now. And Andy, one of the first things I want you to tell us and tell our audience is basically how it started. How did you become Roger Maris's biggest and loyal fan?
Well, after the 59 season, the Yankees traded for Roger from Kansas City. And I was searching for a childhood hero, and all my friends, without exception, they were all Mickey Mantle fans. And Mickey, just for whatever reason, didn't do it for me. And when Roger came over, there was this great article in Sport Magazine, and it said, Roger Maris rejuvenates the Yankees. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, at 12 years old, I had no idea what the word rejuvenated meant. So I looked it up, and I thought, how is it possible one player can make a team younger, full of energy, invigorated. So I started to pay attention to Roger, and a lot of the descriptions of Roger that year talked about him being a team player and an unselfish player, which probably had been used before with other players, but I had never really listened, I guess. They also talked about Roger being a family guy. And so at 12 years old, my antenna was up and I was looking for a role model, and I thought, this is a good person as well as a great player. And in 1960, he won the MVP award and has been given credit for being the missing ingredient that put the Yankees back into the World Series.
I think seven World Series he was in an 11-year, 12-year career, so yeah. He had to be doing something right if his teams were getting to the World Series with that amount of regularity. There's so many stories, Andy. But one that really sticks out in my head is the Pittsburgh story. It's further on in you know the genesis of your relationship with Roger, but it's one that really hit home with me because of the resonation of just everything, the stars aligning and everything. Roger gets traded to the Cardinals. He hasn't hit a home run yet, and you're in college. And I will let you tell the rest of the story because you were there.
It was May 9th, 1967. I was a freshman at Akron University. And just to give you an idea, in the dorm room that I was staying, on my wall there was a poster of Roger Maris, and I was telling everybody that I was good friends with Roger Maris. My roommate had a poster over his bed of Raquel Welch from 1 million BC, and to this day, I still don't know what was going on in his head. Anyway, the spring of 67, baseball season starts. It's May 9th, and one of the guys in college says, we noticed that Maris and the Cardinals are gonna be in Pittsburgh. Why don't we go and you can introduce us to your good friend, Roger Maris? So I kind of said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. So we traveled from Akron to Pittsburgh. It's about 2.5 hours. There were four or five of us. And the whole time I'm incredibly nervous because Maris had never seen me other than at Yankee Stadium. We get to Forbes Field. It's 20 minutes before the game and Roger's in front of the dugout having a catch. And I go up to the edge of the fence to get his attention. And I go, Raj? He turns around, he looks at me and he goes, Andy Strasburg, what the hell are you doing here in Pittsburgh? Well, Raj, I had some buddies that wanted to meet you. They lined up as if it was a wedding reception. Jeff Sachs, Roger Maris, Roger Maris, Jeff Sachs. I was on cloud nine. The game is about to begin, and so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and sit in right field. As you know, if you score in baseball, right field is the number nine. Roger's number is 9. I sit in row 9, seat 9, and it's May 9th. In the 6th inning, Roger Maris gets up against Woody Freeman and hits the 5th pitch for his first National League home run. I caught the ball. And the only thing that I felt besides disbelief are warm tears of joy just coming down my cheeks. I was frozen. I became a statue. And my buddies are hooting and hollering and slapping me on the back. At the end of the inning, Raj comes running out. And instead of stopping in his position in right field, he comes up to the fence. He looks at me and he points to me and he says, "I don't believe it." And I said, "I don't believe it either."
There's just so many stories like that, and, you know, goosebumps on top of goosebumps. But this relationship didn't stop when baseball ended for Roger. This continued, and you stayed really close with him, and eventually you became really close with his family. And this kind of thing doesn't happen every day, especially nowadays. Looking back, just talk about how much you feel like you're blessed and how much his relationship meant to you and his family's continuing relationship means to you today.
Well, I do recognize that I'm very, very fortunate. This has worked out beyond my wildest dreams. And Roger and I talked about it. We talked about why he acknowledged me. And his answer was very straight and to the point. He said it was my consistent loyalty of being his fan. And he recognized that, and while I might have been a little bit pushy at times, I was always respectful of who he was and his not only being a player, but being his own person. And so I was very fortunate that he acknowledged me, and we had some, as you said, some mysterious things happen as a result of this friendship that started when I was 14 years old.
Tell us about your continued friendship with the entire Maris family. How did that begin, and, you know, what is that relationship like now?
Well, first of all, I met Pat Maris, Roger's wife, at his very last game in St. Louis, regular season. I went up and I introduced myself, and after that was 1968. After the 68 season, we kept in touch over cards and letters with the family. And then when I finally was lucky enough to secure a job in baseball, it was 1975, and it was in the front office of the San Diego Padres. And I contacted my folks, my girlfriend, who would later be my wife, and Roger Maris to tell him I'm in Major League Baseball. And we kept this friendship going, and it matured to the point where in 1978, I was at the winter baseball meetings. They were held in Hollywood, Florida, and Roger had retired to Gainesville, Florida. And at one point, I was sitting in a room, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "There's a guy with a crew cut in the hallway. He'd like you to come out and see him." And I ran out, it was Roger, and I was so thrilled. I hadn't seen him in 10 years, and I said, "You gotta meet my wife." And he said, "Great, get her, I'll be sitting over there." And he pointed to a table, and it was sitting at that table was Mo Drabowski, Whitey Herzog, and the Daily News reporter, Dick Young. And so I go up to the room to get my wife, and I tell her, "You're not gonna believe it. Roger Maris is here, and you're gonna get to meet him." She said, "Well, I can't meet him like this. I've got to put on the right clothes. I've got to do my hair. I've got to put makeup on." So I go back downstairs to talk and tell Roger that my wife is on her way. And I'm standing behind him. He can't see me. And I'm waiting for a pause in the conversation so I can explain it. And I'm listening, and all of a sudden I hear him saying about this kid, that when he played for the Yankees, this kid was his fan, and how this kid became friends, and how proud he is of this kid who now works for the San Diego Padres. And at that moment, I thought, this is incredible. Not only did I get to meet my childhood hero, not only did we become friends, but he's proud of me. Well, the relationship just continues. By the way, we went out to dinner that night, and it was the first time that I was able to talk to Roger Maris as an adult, as a human being, which was a very special night for me. The relationship continued. We had a number of situations where we socialized together, Pat and Roger and my wife and I, and my dad once, which was an incredible experience. After Roger passed away, I went to the funeral, and I waited to be the last person to pay their condolences to Pat Maris. And that was 1985, December of 85. And once I went up, as soon as she saw me, she hugged me. And then she turned and said to the kids, "Kids, now the Marises have six children. They're all adults at this time." And she says, "Kids, I want to introduce you to somebody very special. This is Andy Strasburg." And Roger Maris Jr. didn't miss a beat and said, "I know you. Your dad's number one fan." And the only thing that I could say was, "You'll never know how much your dad meant to me growing up." And Roger Maris Jr. said, "You'll never know how much you meant to our dad." We kept the relationship up. I was able to go back to Fargo for a fundraiser. There was a special dinner to honor the memory of Roger Maris. And after the dinner, I started talking to all the Maris kids. And at one point, I'm spending more time talking to Randy Maris than anybody else. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is it possible that the relationship will continue through Randy Maris? And the answer was yes. So much so that Randy and his wife, Fran, would come to San Diego and stay at my house. And my wife, Patty, and I would go to their house in Gainesville, Florida. We took a car trip together. We took a couple of cruises together. But the most incredible part of this story, on August 3rd, 1990, Fran and Randy Maris called me from a hospital in Gainesville, Florida, to tell me that Fran had just given birth to a baby boy. And they were going to name the baby boy Andrew. And they wanted to know if I would be Andrew's godfather. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that my childhood hero, his grandson, would be my godson and my namesake.
I mean, that's just an unbelievable story. We got a chance to interview the Maris family down in Gainesville, and they're just wonderful people. And you can see why Roger Maris, as a ball player, is so loved by fans, especially his biggest fan, Andy Strasburg.
And my one thing from down there that I took from that interview, Susan, his daughter, I was talking to the three boys that we were going to interview, and I was telling them, "Look, I'm not down here to make a name for myself. I'm not down here to break any news. I'm just down here out of respect for the career that your father had and for everything he did for the game of baseball, for the New York Yankees, for the St. Louis Cardinals." And I got done with my entire speech before we were going to start the interview. And Susan, without, you know, being asked or anything, just stops at everything and says, "Wow." And I'm getting goosebumps as I think about it. "Dad would have loved you." And that actually choked me up a little bit. I mean, because, you know, you're so far removed, if you're me, from that era of baseball. I wasn't around. I mean, I wanted to be around, but I just wasn't. You know, I was born in 1973. I missed all that stuff. But to do that interview and to be with that family, as Joe mentioned, just such a great family to be around, great people. And I know you know this, but I just want people out there listening as well, that it doesn't matter really if it's Andy Strasburg. If you bumped into the Marises, they would treat you like gold. I mean, truly the golden rule. I mean, that's what they follow, and they're just such a great family. I think we can't forget, and it's something we have to go back to the beginning, and it's a story that you told me about before, and we just haven't touched on it yet. It's how you started this relationship with Roger. You were too scared to say something to him. So how did you begin to communicate with Roger?
Well, the Yankees parked across the street from Yankee Stadium. And what I would do is I would get to the ballpark very early. and I need to make sure that you understand what very early means. For a 1 o'clock game, I'd get to Yankee Stadium at 8:30 in the morning. I felt it was my responsibility. Once the player parked his car, I needed to escort the player across the street. How else would they find Yankee Stadium if it wasn't for me? But in reality, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to Roger Maris. But when he got out of his car, I was too nervous. I couldn't say anything. And so the only way that I figured out I'm going to communicate with him is by writing a note. And so I would always write a note, and in the note, I always talked about something that happened the day before. And whether he struck out or hit a home run, I was always very positive in that note. And I always signed it, "You are my favorite baseball player," and then wrote down Andy Strasburg. Well, I hand him the note. While everyone else is trying to get his autograph, I hand him the note. And that was the first time. And then the second time. And I did this repeatedly, so much so that when he would park his car, get out of his car, and start walking across the street, there'd be a crowd of kids around him. He'd actually reach over the kids and extend his hand for my note. Take it, put it in his pocket, walk into the ballpark, and I'm sure he would read my note. I always kept it short and to the point, but I wanted him to know that he was very important to me.
It's unbelievable. And inspiration, you know, you've made a whole career in baseball. You were with the Padres for 22 years. And it also inspired you to write a book. And talk to us about the book that you put your heart and soul into. And in your heart is Roger Maris, the New York Yankees, and baseball.
Yeah, I think the name of the book is Baseball Fantography. And I have always believed that there's a very important untold story, and that is from the fans' perspective. They are what makes this game great. If the players played with nobody watching, trust me, it would not be a great game. But the fact that millions of fans enjoy the game, that's what makes it great. And what I wanted was, I wanted the fans' perspective of their experience of Major League Baseball. And so I did a call out. Give me your photographs, your snapshots, as long as you're not a professional photographer and it's not of game action. And the variety of snapshots that I received was overwhelming. They were so personal and poignant. And as I said, they tell a great story, and I've captured over 300 of those photos in Baseball Fantography. And obviously these are pictures of some of the greats of the game, going back to 1918, Tris Speaker, Rabbit Moranville, up to last year. There's pictures of Josh Hamilton, Derek Jeter, Cole Hamels, Bronson Arroyo. So it's everything in between. It's Mickey Mantle coming off the golf course. It's Whitey Ford jumping up in a swimming pool trying to scare the person who was taking the photograph. It's filled with a lot of great stories and insight that only baseball fans can tell.
And you came to Yankee Stadium basically on a daily basis when you were young. So you have those snapshots in your memory as well. You came here to the ballpark today, and I know you've been to this new ballpark, but Chris, you know, did an interview with you out in right field, and you could see that, you know, with the new Yankee Stadium looking a lot like the old Yankee Stadium, those snapshots, those memories that you had were coming back to you.
Oh, yeah.
Being in that same area where Roger Maris used to talk to you, used to look at you, you used to have your interaction with your favorite player. So what was that like today, kind of reliving that memory and reliving those snapshots in your head?
The perspective of for me of going to Yankee games is 100% from right field. I lived in right field. I got to be such good friends with Larry the Cop that he would just tell me, you know, buy a ticket and you can sit out here as long as the seats are available. So Larry, if you're listening, I've always wanted to say thank you after all these years. But you get a special feeling in any ballpark, but there is this is the most unique of all feelings. I mean, this is where my life was. I spent so much time here that my mother was concerned that my life wasn't going to go anywhere because I was obsessed with the game of baseball.
And look at you now.
Yeah. I wish she had lived long enough to know that I worked for the Padres for 22 years, written a couple of baseball books, and also played a, I was a consultant for the movie 61 on HBO.
All right, so before we let you go, just one quick question about that since you brought it up. What was that experience like? What was it like working with Billy Crystal and Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane, who looked eerily familiar to Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris?
Well, first of all, Billy Crystal is one of the smartest people I know. He is incredibly talented on so many different levels and a very, very hard worker. Working on that movie, though, was time travel for both of us. We became 13 all over again. We were able to go to places that we weren't allowed to go to when we were 13 in 1961. So we were in Roger's apartment, we were in the dugout, we were in at ballparks. There was one day where Billy got so excited, we were filming in Detroit at Tiger Stadium. And he, as soon as I walked onto the set, he said, "I gotta show you something, you're not gonna believe it." So he took me into the bathroom, the visitor's dugout, and he said, "Do you realize the guys who have stood here?" He said, "Yeah."
That sounds like Billy Crystal.
You got Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and he went through Ted Williams, Jimmy Fox, Mantle Maris. Every day was just such a wonderful experience. It was a combination of time travel, the movie making process, which I had never experienced before, working with Billy Crystal, and then the subject. The subject was 1961, Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle. It doesn't get any better than that.
And you were in the movie.
I was fortunate enough, I was hired as a technical consultant in the middle of the shooting. Billy came to me and asked me if I wanted a cameo in the movie, and I said, absolutely. And he said, "How would you like to be an umpire?" And I said, "Not interested." And he couldn't understand what I was talking about, and so I said, "Let's take a look at the videotape of Maris hitting the home run." And after Maris circled the bases, before he got to the dugout, one fan very politely comes out of the stands and he shakes Roger's hand, congratulates him and pats him on the back, and then goes back into the stands. I said, "Billy, I was 13. I wanted to be that fan. Now I'm in my 50s. I still want to be that fan." And Billy said, "Okay, that's the role you'll play. You will be that fan in the movie." And fortunately for me, Billy shot it so that you can see my face. And I'm smiling. I'm very, very happy because I'm getting to relive something that I only dreamt about.
You are the first movie star that I have interviewed. I just want to let you know that.
Atmospheric artist is how we like to be called.
Listen, Andy Strasberg, the name of the book is Baseball Fantography, a celebration and snapshots and stories from the fans. You are, in all seriousness, a bridge to a time where I want to get on that bridge and walk across it and go back. Your memories, your knowledge, the history is all so invaluable, and we can't say it enough that we appreciate all your time that you gave us today.
Well, thank you, but I also want to say, Chris and Joe, there are a lot more memories to be made here at Yankee Stadium. There are a lot of opportunities for people to have experiences that they will be able to carry on for the rest of their lives starting tomorrow.
And also, there's a website. Do you want to plug the website really quick for Fantography?
Absolutely. If some fan has a great picture that they would like to be in the next Baseball Fantography website, just go to fantography.com, and Fantography is spelled fantography.com. And on a personal note, I'm hoping that some fan has a picture of Manny's Baseball Land from the 1960s. I would love to get that picture. I promise you it will be in the next book.
Andy Strasberg, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
We also have to thank the Yankee Museum for letting us do this. And, you know, just want to say that it's very fitting that we're here talking to Andy in the Yankee Museum, looking back on the past and looking forward to the future. So that's what I just wanted to...
Joe, very eloquent out of you. We'll wrap it up on that note. Joe, thank you very much. Andy, thank you as well. This is Chris Sheeran saying thanks for listening. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, you could always go to iTunes and download the Off the Wall podcast for free. For Andy Strasberg and Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran saying so long. We'll see you next time on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.